Hi everyone, this is our first level 3 class because not everyone is coming to online classes whilst we're closed due to the COVID situation. But also for all the ones who do come and might just like an extra practice at home, especially by the time you get to level 3 you start to enjoy your inversions. So today I'm going to combine forward bends with inversions. So we're going to get the quietness first. So the picture does show what could be blocks, and blocks are okay, but what would be preferable would be a single brick on its middle height between the shoulder blades, and then pull up a bolster so that you support the neck and shoulders. So you might actually need, and it shows slightly better in the number 3 pose, you might need to use a sideways brick to prop up the bolster enough. So you make a T, one high, not quite high, sorry, one middle height, one low height, and then the bolster just catching the low one. So my spine takes a while to settle on the long brick, which is mid height, between my shoulder blades, under my heart, and of course easy cross legs. And then I feel the shoulders can touch the bolster, the back of the neck can spread on the bolster, and the skull, the skin of the skull, also fully supported where it contacts the bolster. So now you can breathe. The task is to settle. I have quite hard bricks under me today, so if you've got foam ones, that will come easier. I have wooden ones, so cork is the middle ground. So just letting the groins check that they are settling, because this is Sukhasana for the legs. Sukha is easy or happy pose, and actually sitting in cross legs, when I started yoga, that's what it was called, Sukhasana. So this would be Supta Sukhasana. It's an easy, happy place for the groins, thighs, buttocks. We're using the props in the first 3 poses to encourage the opening of the chest, so we get an awareness of breath and breath movement in the chest whilst the spine is supported. So the chest is steady now. Hopefully the muscles that were initially resisting the support of the brick have now conformed around the shape of it. If you're lying on flat foams, well, it's a flat surface, so of course it's much steadier. But the reason for having the narrow end of the brick along the spine is to bring the spinal awareness, quietening the shoulders as the chest opens more. And then just change the cross on your legs without coming up, just where you are. Again, let the groins, buttocks settle, belly soften, should all happen quite quickly now. And perhaps try a different position of your arms once the lower body is settled. So you could have the arms folded overhead, just to start to exercise the intercostal muscles a bit more, the latissimus. So that you have been breathing softly and broadly and deeply as you rest here. So many varying positions for arms, but most simply Shavasana, extended out at shoulder height like on a cross. and fold it overhead. So it would be my suggestion not to come up, but actually just to change the position of the feet so that you can do a Baddha Konasana now. So soles of the feet together. Groin's opening now. Much more length coming from inner groin to inner knee. And almost feel like the skin wraps around the knee and comes from the outer knee back into the hip socket. And you can encourage both those sensations by slightly pressing the heels more firmly, joining the outer feet more firmly. And again, varying the hand positions from on your tummy. Keeping the breath soft at all times. To a Shavasana position, where the hands are about 20, 30 degrees from the body. Still the belly soft, still the breathing easy. When you take the arms out at shoulder height, you feel much more that the breath is going from the sternum out to the lungs, out to the collarbones, out to the armpits, right to the fingertips. So it really encourages broad breath. Try and relate to that broad breath from the centre, not just on the front body, but on the back body. So this also helps to take some tension off the diaphragm. And try to keep it that way as you take the arms overhead. So you can either hold the elbows with the fingers in a more relaxed way, or you can do what we often do in class, which is to take the wee finger to the crease of the opposite elbow and push into the crease. So it's as if the wee fingers are trying to push the forearms away, and this results in the upper arm, biceps to inner armpit drawing up, and similarly on the outer arm, elbow to outer arm to outer armpit, drawing up into the body. So in this position it's up, isn't it? Into the body. Drawing the shoulder joints into their sockets. And of course try that with both folds if you haven't already. Bring the arms back. Take the elbows to the ground. Place the hands on the floor behind you and lift the chest up. So the third in this little starting sequence, this supported set, is slightly stronger. So you need to be in Adho Mukha Virasana. And if that's on a raise, you might have to come back to a chair. Or you might just have to be a bit more clever about how you construct the high brick behind you, which has to touch the same part of the spine, under the heart, between the shoulder blades. You might have to just construct something there that works for you. The pose, for anyone who's a regular at yoga on tea, you will have encountered before. So we're now in a much stronger pose. And what you normally use, of course, sometimes you have to build up, don't you? It's not always the same. So it's nice to have the soft
support of the bolster under the neck, but it might be you're actually quite happy just with the bricks. So once you've found the base of the pose, buttocks well down, inner groins down now. Keep that length on the inner thighs. And keep the action of drawing outer knee to outer hip and squeezing those outer hips in slightly. You can do this with your fingers as you pull the heels out. Push with the thumbs to take the hips into the sockets. Now the chest should be ready to open from the previous couple of postures. Of course, you will encounter a new level of resistance, so you may have to come up and resettle, slightly alter your props. But try to again reach the point where you've got soft, smooth breath, shoulders relaxed, shoulder joints drawn into the body, throat soft, eyes quiet, because they're all supported poses, yeah? They're not working poses. You might find you exhale more deeply as you stay for some time. And in fact, I would say if you don't, it's definitely a sign there's still some tension. So make a point of exhaling more deeply. So you invite a little bit more Shavasana into your Paryankasana or Supta Virasana on a high brick. So we won't do that one for so long because I know that challenges many of you. And what we'll do now is we'll get up to stretch out the backs, stretch out the legs. So if everyone, unless you're 6 foot, you'll need a bit more space. You'll take your bricks off the mat. Everyone else, this works very well. Just have your heels on the back edge of the mat and the bricks at the front edge of the mat. So Uttanasana, as shown in picture 4. But it's a kind of half Uttanasana, isn't it? Because I'd like you all to start with high bricks. Find the feet on the floor, spread the feet. Again, like the Baddhakonasana, press with the heels to bring the leg muscles to lift. Press with the outer feet more to bring more lift to the inner legs. And find both these actions help to free the spine. It's like the spine grows horizontally out of the pelvis. And have the breath easy, as in those nice supported poses where the chest was open. And then we'll just do a little test at this point. We'll take the bricks down to the middle height. Keep your heads up, chest open, pressure in the heels, the outer feet. So a good awareness on the inner thighs. Take the bricks so you're on the third setting, flat. Again, make sure the spine is long, chest open. There's chest is closing, breathing is closing. Then go up a little bit higher. Otherwise, proceed just to see. The picture does show a full Uttanasana. So that's hands flat on the floor. Now letting the head hang. But we will do it with the feet apart at this stage. I didn't say that, but I hope you did. And we'll start to walk the hands back outside the feet. See the triangle gap between the legs. It's wide at the ankles and narrow at the thighs. Try and make it wider at the thighs, so less of a triangle. Take the top off.
And then bring your hands back, bricks high. Hands on the high bricks, stretch out the spine again. Hands on the hips, inhale to come up. So from there, Janushirshasana. Now I do say in the instructions on number 5 to sit on a raise and take support from a chair. So that chair support is for the head. I do not recommend, these poses are all deliberately designed to be held for a while. So I do not recommend doing it without a chair for anyone, no matter how flexible you are. And you're going to sit on the edge of a raise for your buttocks. And you're going to bend up the right leg in place for Janushirshasana. And in Janushirshasana, you'll notice how immediately the left groin goes down and the right groin is open like Baddha Konasana, and it pulls the tummy to the right. So when you stretch your arms up, notice how your whole tummy is drawn to the bent leg. So now turn the tummy towards the chair in front of you. And keep the tummy facing towards the left big toe as you stretch your arms forward to the chair. So you'll start to notice how the right inner groin also starts to move down more. And here we will stay for a couple of minutes. So you want to have the hands now either stretching up to the back of the chair, heads resting on the edge of the chair, or arms folded on the front of the chair, with the head either on the chair or the arms. Chest's open. And as with all the previous postures, connect with the spine. From the sacrum, lifting each and every vertebrae up to the back of the skull. So you remain connected with the length of the spine. You let the shoulders relax down now so that the joint moves into the torso, yeah, into the body. So it's a supported forward bend, but it's not without action or attention. The tummy is definitely to be turning at all times away from the right leg towards the left leg. Shoulders relaxing. And then you're just going to quietly raise the head up, pick up that right knee, stretch the right leg out, bend the left knee up and take it out to the side. Janushirshasana, second side. Through Urdhva Hastasana, so stretch up with your arms. Ensure that the right leg is strong and straight. Ensure the tummy is turning towards the straight leg. And try to get that navel looking towards the right big toe. So you might notice there's a bit of stretch or pull on the lower back. And of course that's one of the great benefits of this pose. It's quite nice for helping tightness in the lower back. Really strong with the straight leg. If there's any tension in the knees, try and breathe space in there. I've been finding during the lockdown and my knee pains to actually relax that part, breathe into it. So for you it might not be a knee, it might be a hip, it might be a shoulder, it might be the neck. Just the fact you can stay, try to get past the pain. In the first instance, with the breath. Maybe some extra support may be necessary, but often you can just, if you relax a bit more, get the mind quiet, the breath smooth, you can get past a lot of aches and pains. So feel the diaphragm spreading like in the Baddha Konasana. Kidneys broad. And then we'll lift the head, stretch the arms forward, lift the arms up, pick up the left knee. So you're going to come to standing again. So part of pose five is that we do Uttanasana again, the half Uttanasana, or Urdhva Mukha Uttanasana. So definitely feet apart still at this stage in the practice. Hands on high bricks. This is very deliberate. Doesn't mean that you're doing less of a pose. It means you're using the legs to lengthen the spine and open the chest. I want you to spread the belly. Spread the diaphragm. Spread the kidneys. So you'll find as you take a few breaths here, the back really recovers if you've overdone it in the forward bend. I hope you haven't. But if you have. So again, pressing into the heel of the foot, the outer foot, as we did before. And with the hands, press more into the heel of the hand and the thumb side. So you feel that inner wrist drawn down, yet the elbows lifting up. Keep the inner elbows facing each other. And try to turn the upper arms out more, so the biceps coming forward. More grip on the outer upper arm, as you have with the legs. And then, hands on the hips, inhale, up you come. So Trianga Mukhaikapada Paschimottanasana next. Number 6 on your sheet. So, from Dandasana, same distance still from your chair. Bend back the right leg, which has of course had a bit of prep in your Supta Virasana, Supta Pariyankasana. Decide how much height you need. Most of us will need something because we're assisting these forward bends. So maybe a half fold blanket, maybe a full fold blanket, maybe a block, maybe a brick, maybe a bolster. Doesn't matter. So you're facing the chair much more easily in this pose. Inhale, take the arms up. Keep that nice length on each side as you come forwards. And again, you can work with the forehead. I would like the forehead supported on something, so you have to arrange to find that. And you can have the arms fully extended. So I always like to start by working. So my fingertips go up the chair back. Keeps my chest open in line with the first postures. And then I have to start to spread my diaphragm again. Spread my kidneys, and I can get the spine longer by bringing more weight to my buttocks, taking those in the middle groins back more, keeping those outer thighs firm. For you, this way of doing the forward bends, you get a chance to really enjoy them. Spine long, chest open. Make it easy for yourself. Give yourself plenty of time to feel how the hips inhabit the pose, how the shoulders inhabit the pose. Compare the two knees. One is open, extended. One is flexed. Are they equally happy? Can you bring them to be equally happy? And then just stretch the arms forward. Lift yourself up. Stretch out the right leg back to Dandasana. And prepare to do that on the other side. So bending back the left leg. Making sure the right buttock is supported. So the pelvis is level. So we want the pelvis horizontal so the spine can be nicely long, nice even extension in the trunk, not working on a tilty pose to refine our balance. We're just looking to have a good foundation and come to the second side. Exhale deeply. Arrive. Recharge the extension on that straight leg. And reach both buttocks back. You notice there's a slight convexity for most of us on the left side and a slight concavity on the right side. So I'm going to suggest you inhale to the right lung and exhale to the left lung. And see if that just slightly, I don't know if anyone sails, but there's a sort of fine balance in a boat, especially a canoe. So I want you to trim your pose. Trim is the word, where you just really level up the two sides. I suppose it's like dredging, where you have to trim the banks of the river. Not dredging, just, you know, when they go round. I suppose it's more like canals. Anyway, enough. Come back. Stretch out the leg. Come up onto your feet. Aha Uttanasana once again. Keep the spread, not just of the belly, but the back body, diaphragm, kidneys. We're using these supported uttanasanas, half uttanasanas, to bring circulation to the back. So this was taught by Ali Dashney recently during the coronavirus classes that we've been attending. He says the back has to breathe. So have the idea that the skin of your back has to breathe. Every cell, every pore. Keeping the limbs strong and firm as before. Supportive legs and arms, quadrupeds, chest open. You should feel there's almost like an arching in the very upper back where the thoracic spine comes into the body, into the heart, like when you were lying on the bricks. And it's that feeling, that action in the upper back that we refer to as concave back. It looks straight, but it feels concave. The action could make it that way. Now, hands on the hips. Up you come. So next up is Marichyasana 1. And again, even though you might manage perfectly well with our raise, sit on the edge of a blanket or block. Stretch out the legs in front of you, Dandasana. Really feel the length on the inner legs and just take your hands for a minute, outer knee to outer hip. Draw the skin up, squeeze the hips in, and feel how, again, the legs can work for the spine. Try to keep the left leg strong and the spine lifted as you bend the right leg up. Place the heel near the buttock. Make sure your chair is within reach. Inhale, stretch up with the arms, and exhale to come forward. So again, arrange your chair, blocks, blankets, bolsters, whatever you might need, so that the forehead is supported. It's always quite nice if you can get the foot to touch the bar on the back of the chair if you have one. And sometimes when I'm doing this, so now for example, I've decided I'd like more help for my straight leg. So I've just taken it slightly out to the side. So my left foot is now in contact with the back leg of the chair. So I'm going to let my pose evolve from here. I can be quiet in myself. So a steadiness comes to the pose. And you can stay. So it's supported, this pose, but it's not without work. You really have to press into the heel of that right foot. Keep that firmness of right hip, squeezing in towards left hip. So those sockets working towards each other. Feel again, you can breathe into the left lung and out of the right lung. Just to trim the trunk for the pose. So there's still that slight twisting element in your abdominals. Now,
extend the arm, raise the head, raise the arms and come up. Change sides. Marichyasana 1 is a forward bend. With the left leg up now. Buttocks still reaching back. Straight legs strong as in Dandasana. Arms lifting up the torso to come forwards. Arrive. Exhale completely.
Feel the shape on the left side of the trunk, near the leg, the bent leg, and the right side. Can you feel how the right side just bows out slightly? Left side shrinks away from the leg. So we're going to try and use the breath to correct that. Inhale to the left lung. Exhale from the right lung. Try that repeatedly. You'll see how it brings balance to the pelvis. How it encourages the straight leg to stay strong. And yet all the while, the head, shoulders, throat, nicely quiet. Stretch out your arms, lift your head.
The legs strong as you inhale up. And then come back onto your feet. Concave back in Uttanasana. So feet hip width apart, hands shoulder width. Every time. Reconnect with the feet and hands as we did before. And remember that earlier Uttanasana where I said there's quite a bit of space between the feet and next to no space between the thighs. I want you now to try and separate the thighs. Feel the groin spreading. The body broadening. It's a tremendous activity to maintain that space at the top of the thighs, but try. Find a real steadiness now in your concave back, Uttanasana. The more you do this, the lighter the hands. So we'll take the hands on the hips. We'll inhale, come up. And sit down once again on our support, so block or blanket. Stretch out the legs. And this time you're going to take your feet to the respective edges of your chair. Well, actually, before you do that, because I have to do it myself, so I have to remind you about this, take a belt. You might have been smart. You might have already put one round the back of the chair. At the ready, have the belt on back of the chair. Reposition yourself if, like me, you had to get up. Take the feet onto the back legs of the chair. Take the hands onto the seat of the chair. Press down with the hands to really help lift the spine up. Feel you can draw the belly up out of the pelvis. Now I would keep the right hand on the front right edge of the chair and reach that left hand to the back right leg. So around your toes, somewhere in that direction. And if clearly that is bringing the left side down, starting to take the right side of the trunk up to the ceiling. So strong legs. Practice what you've been doing in Uttanasana. And either hold the back of the chair or take your fingers to the belt on the back of the chair and pull. So I'm resting my head on my chair.
But I'm going to use my breath, and you'll hear in a minute, quite actively now. So, inhale, turn, inhale, turn, inhale, turn. So I'm looking at the ceiling now. Parivrita Paschimottanasana, release. I'm also wearing specs. It's not so clever when you're resting your head. So let's do that the other way. So left hand now on the front left of the chair. The right hand reaching through to the back to catch the left leg of the chair. So you're crossing the hand across the body. Top arm now on the belt and head on the chair. So the pose starts to invite the turn, obviously, but you're going to use the breath to make it more active. So, stretch out the spine, open the chest. Use the exhalation to turn, or rather just at the end of it. So I inhale, I open the chest, exhale, turn. Spine nice and long throughout that, up you come. So you can do that again with the legs straight like this, or you might want to do it with the right leg in Janushirshasana. Either way, we're going to do a Parivrita once again. So left hand's going towards the back of the chair on the right side, and use the breath. Feels a real freedom. This should be an amazing turn comes from this. And then you'll come up and change sides. And as you change sides, it's going to be right hand to left leg of the chair at the back, head supported, left elbow up to the sky or the ceiling, depending on where you're practicing. And then that inhalation will really bring life and length back into the spine. The exhalation gives you the freedom to turn. And then you inhale, you come up, and you come back to Uttanasana. What a surprise, half Uttanasana. You might want to change things. You know, I've shown it with the bricks, but now, you know, we've got that chair in front of us. Let's take the feet under the hips, hands under the shoulders, but on the chair. Really breathe into the back. But now you're going to fold the arms on the front of the chair. So there's a bit more of release. It's not as low as full Uttanasana. Put my feet on the floor, hip width. My arms on the edge of the chair. My head, my forehead on my forearms. So I'm starting to release much more from the hips with the torso. It's lovely. Because of course the spine and the back are alive now after that. What will be interesting to see is how that's going to help the next pose. So, take your hands to the edge of the seat. Get to Urdhva Mukha Uttanasana. Hands back on the hips. Inhale up. And then try Paschimottanasana. So you can do it with the feet apart on the chair like we did last time, or you can do it with feet together. Once you've seated yourself, stretch up, exhale, come forwards, just like that half Uttanasana, where we were inclining the torso a bit more. Make the legs strong like the Uttanasana. So you can again see the distance between the feet is wider than the thighs. Try and make more distance with the thighs. Feel how that frees the lower back. And then you might want to start to push the chair slightly away. Just test out, coming forwards. What is the freedom in the back? So it's from the very lower back, you come forward. You're not pulling at all. Keep the shoulders away from the ears. Be still, be quiet, and then up you come, onto the feet. So this time we are going to do feet together, Uttanasana. You're going to come with the arms folded, so as you're standing, fold the elbows,
Reach forwards.
Come down. Keep the chest open. Keep the back chest broad. Keep the belly broad. Keep the diaphragm broad. Be very firm on the feet. Take the hands down. So use again all four points to help you stand steady. Reach into the heels, hands and feet. Keep the neck long and soft. Chest open.
And see if you're any closer to lying on your thighs as you stand there. You never know. So from there, inhale, come up to Urdhva Mukha, halfway, hands on the hips, all the way up. Keep that quiet steadiness in your being. Oh, sorry about that. That was my bolster. And then you're going to come to Shirshasana 2. Shirshasana 2. Remember, you have to make an equilateral triangle with the head, the crown of the head, and the hands. So if you place yourself for normal head balance, but then bring your hands back to where your elbows were and squeeze the elbows in so the shoulders lift. So again, shoulders away from ears. And then you lift up your knees so you can walk in with your toes. You should have a very firm structure there. Chest open so you can breathe well. And the more you're on your tiptoes, the more lift you have and length you have for the spine. So the hands have to work as they did in Uttanasana to support you, as do the legs. And the more you can lift the hips up with the legs, the lighter your Shirshasana too. Then down you come. And we'll go to normal Shirshasana. And if you're not up for normal Shirshasana today, then Prasarit Padottanasana, with the feet wide. Okay? So just take what you need. And we'll set ourselves up for a Shirshasana, head balance. Or indeed a Prasarita Padottanasana. So even if you don't normally use the wall, you might decide you're going to use the wall today just because of the nature of the class. So prepare well. Don't forget, sometimes it's nice to do on a triple pleated blanket because it helps you to really lift the shoulders when you're in the pose. So arrive, connect with the base of the pose, so that'll be the wrists, the forearms, the elbows, all equally pressing down. And although there is weight in the head, the more you press down with the forearms, the lighter the weight on the head. So really learn to lift the shoulders and keep a nice even extension on both sides of the trunk. Any back problems? Keep the feet hip width apart and turn the toes in slightly. Going upside down is absolutely great for back problems, actually. It's just the getting up and down that can sometimes be tricky. You have to be careful about that. So whether we're in Shirshasana or Prasarit Padottanasana, I want you to work the feet well, pressing into the heels, reaching into the heels, connecting with the outer feet. Breathe well. So the chest open, diaphragm's broad. Find the steady, quiet poses that we had earlier in your Shirshasana. So if I take my mind to my inner groins and my inner thighs and really stretch up to the heels, that brings a firmness to my outer thighs, firmness to my hips, a lightness in my pose. To stay a little bit longer. Recharge the connection with the floor. Recharge the length on the spine. And then we'll just come down. So bending the knees to the chest. Sorting yourself out. Taking a little bit of time to recover. And we'll make sure that the necks are fine by doing a brief Adho Mukha Vrikshasana, arm balance. Now the interesting thing is, of course, you don't have to do the full arm balance. You could just do a half arm balance. You know how we measure up with the feet on the wall and we place the belt in line with the buttocks and then walk up the wall. But one way or another, I'd like you to do this so that you can release the necks. If you've got shoulder problems, of course, you have to be careful. It's often more helpful to turn the hands out to the side. So you could try that. So you get plenty of pressure into the thumb and index. And you have to really push the hands down to lift up. Push those heels up the wall. And the same as the Shirshasana. Take the feet apart if there's a back problem. Even if there's not, it helps you lift the tailbone. Get the length back to your spine and then down you come. Recovered in Uttanasana. From Uttanasana, fetch your belt back and get a brick. I'm sure, yes, Pinchamayurasana next. So again, we need to get a good connection with the forearms and the floor. Just like in your head balance. So the brick, because so many people, their hands slide towards each other, don't they? So the brick's just to go between the thumb and index. You don't have to touch it with the index. You could just have the thumbs touching. And keep the distance between your forearms absolutely parallel. But if they do slide, at least it stops them falling into each other. Now you can have the strap, since we're not in class, I can't see you, either above the elbow joint or just below. For men, have it pretty tight so you're at shoulder distance. For women, give yourselves a little bit more space, so be generous. Not to be narrower than the shoulders, maybe a little tiny bit more. So once you've placed the hands, and even if you're not going up, you can always do a dog pose from here, can't you? So everyone's on their hands, their wrists, their forearms, pressing down, and you've got the knees up. So you're opening the shoulders, freeing the neck, knees tight, hips high. It might be you just want to stay there. That's fine. It might be you want to try. So I'm giving the right sound effects while I'm talking. I'm also doing. So you can lift up, take a few breaths in your Pinchamayurasana. Try and look up to see your toes and then come down. Okay, so next up. Setu Bandha Sarvangasana. You can do it with your feet on a wall, which is not how it's shown. It's shown as a classic pose. You can do it with your feet on a chair. You can do it with your tailbone on a brick. So as you know, there are many options. But let's just see how you're going to get on today, how well it comes to do. I'm just holding myself a bit of space because, as you know, I don't like my head on a sticky mat because it restricts the freedom of the neck to spread and to spread lengthwise or breadthwise. So my heels come in close to the buttocks. So I have to consciously turn my toes in a bit because I'm naturally a lumbery person. So any of you who tend to get nip in the lower back, remember to take that attention. And if you get pains in the knees, come onto your tiptoes. Just get the lift in your buttocks. And don't worry about whether the heels are down or not. And then when you've got the hips up, you're either going to rest them, the pelvis on the brick or the blocks. Or you're going to keep pressing into the feet, lifting the hips, trying to get the hips higher to get more length in the spine. I'm supporting my back ribs, so again, the kidneys broad. You can help that with your fingers. So again, when you breathe, it's like the very beginning when I said have the arms horizontal. When you breathe in, the skin of the sternum spreads right out across the upper chest. And you want to try and hold this pose steady. It's an active pose for most of us, I think, I hope. Stay steady, quiet, stay. Shavasana faces. Roll the spines down, and then we can do a more supported pose, the Viparit Karani. Arguably, it doesn't have to be done with the legs at the wall. We usually do, but you could do it off your four blocks. You could do it if you're planning to do shoulder balance with a chair. Then you can do your Viparita Karani while you're there. So that has to be your choice. You will have been shown this in class, and as long as you comfortably can do so and safely, then on you go. Otherwise, I'm going to take a little bit of Viparita Karani time. So I put the brick in because that gives me a little spacer with the wall. And then I put a bolster in front of that. And if you're feeling gymnastic this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're working, then you just do a wee somersault into it. And if you're not, then you've got to lie down on the side of your mat and get your bottom at the wall. And you know the rigmarole, you pretend you're lying down to sleep at the side of your mat, and then you have to roll back. So you have the choice. I cannot decide for you how to go in. You'll know what's right. And we'll head there next. I'll try and keep the microphone reasonably near to where we are. That's what happens, of course, because I'm doing it with you, my voice might just come and go a little bit. So Viparit Karani. Reaping the benefits of all the work you've done so far. A more active pose using a chair, or a more supported pose using the wall, or a very active pose in the centre on the blocks. In fact, in India they've got tall stumps, so much taller than just a brick. Chair height, obviously. So reconnect. Spine length, opening of the chest, length on the inner legs from the groin to the heels, drawing up the flesh from the outer knee to the hips, but keeping the belly open and flat like a pool. Use your hands. Is it flat? or would the water be pouring out? So you've got to get the chest sufficiently open, as well as having the right height. The chest has to be sufficiently open for the belly, the abdomen, to be horizontal. And your buttocks have to dip slightly over the back of your bolster, or blocks. If you have no bolster, you can do it on blocks, blankets. But the measure is this nice, flat, soft, open abdomen. You can let the legs rest. You can work the legs, it's up to you. You could even experiment with that idea of trying to create a little bit more space between the upper thighs. See what happens. We could do the wrong thing for a minute. We could try and close any space between the upper thighs. Watch what happens to your pose here. See which adjustment gives the greater freedom for the back, the greater freedom for the chest. So the more space in the body. So the idea of breathing into the back, bringing circulation to the spine. Reconnect with that here. Steady. Still pose, lovely, lovely pose. So the culmination of these poses from the sequence of supine to forward bends, inversions, is so that we can have a really nice Sarvangasana. So bend your knees in and push yourself off the... If unless you're on the chair, of course you can go straight to taking the legs to the chair back. Most of you will be at the wall, my expert. Slide off. Gather what you need for shoulder balance. So a shoulder pad. If you don't have the blocks that we use in the studio, you don't have enough blankets, at least use your mat and whatever cushions, blankets, rugs, bath towels that you can find. The general recommendation is that the height of the raise should be as high as the breadth of your hand. There's all sorts of other variations we do, of course, so you have to work out what you need today. Even if you don't like it, try working with the belt. Tighter again for the men, so you try and stick to shoulder width. And the women can give themselves a little bit more space like we did before. So the loop will be the same as you had for Pincha Mayurasana. So coming to Sarvangasana, as soon as you're ready. Try putting the strap on before you lie down, so you can go straight up. It's not always necessary to do a plow pose. There's no plow pose on this list. I'm expecting you to go straight up. You should find the lift comes really well. So the base of the pose now is the upper arm. From the shoulder to the middle of the upper arm to the elbow, all to press down equally well. The fingers turn into the spine as much as you can, with the thumbs on the outer trunk. The hands lifting the spine. The inner legs lifting.
firmness on the outer thighs. Everything to be found back in your Sarvangasana. Like the supine poses at the start, chest will open easily. The arms and legs work well to support you. Mm-hmm. Lovely, lovely Sarvangasana. If it's not, come down, go back to Viparit Karani. So in one of the Uttanasanas, I said you had to turn the flesh of the upper arm from inside out. So try doing that whilst you're here. If you find your tailbone dropping back because it's heavy, lift it up. In fact, separate your feet and really lift the tailbone up to the ceiling. You can keep the feet apart if you enjoy that lightness, if it's easier to sustain. And then you're going to come back down. Remove your strap. Make sure the head is at the same level as the chest. You either take the block from under your bottom, place it under your head, or you take your head, neck and shoulders off the shoulder pad. So a few breaths just to recover. And then you're going to set yourself up for Shavasana. So the idea would be to have a bit of a raise like we did at the start. It's not compulsory, of course, you're working at home. You are free to make many different adjustments. But it's actually quite nice to revisit that and see how it comes now. What has changed? How well the body receives. So I'm going back to my wooden brick and I've got the second height up. For my spine, I've taken a second brick to make a T behind that, where the flat surface is up, so it's not quite as high. And again, I've pulled in the bolster for the back of my neck. So let's see what happens here. Get yourself settled. That bolster right back in for the head and neck, and use the hands to make sure the buttock flesh is released away from the back of the waist. The lower backs are all comfortable, I hope. A lovely Shavasana. It's a little while just to steady as you balance on the brick. But give such fantastic spinal awareness. And even though you might have relaxed at the start of the class, feel how much more open the body is now. So that idea of breathing in the back, you could try and think of breathing the whole of the skin, yeah? Not just the back, not just the chest. I'm not going to guide you through the body parts. I'm going to let you do that yourself. And you'll find as you stay, excuse me,
that there is little disturbances. Either you want to adjust in the body, or you're perhaps a bit rocking on the brick, or perhaps you're perfectly still in the body, but a little thought about something else comes into the mind. These are the obstacles in yoga. And our mind, we're working to say, do not distract me just now. I can make the body adjustment there. The thought, I can say, not just now. I'm being in Shavasana. I will worry about that thought, that idea, later. And then you settle and it's all very smooth and quiet and still. And again, there's a disturbance, physical, intellectual. And you just have to reset yourself so that you can really enjoy the position, the change that you've brought to the body. So the breath is just effortlessly smooth, so that you can soak up the calm and peace that you've worked to create. And something will want to disturb that stillness, so just, again, let it go and relax. This is your task in Shavasana. So, connecting with the breath as a means of focus. And of course there is that distraction to our attention because our awareness pervades everywhere. No, I haven't left you. I'm still here. Your recording is still going on. But it is time to conclude the practice. So just bend up your legs one by one. And lower yourself carefully off that brick if you've used it. Resting on your side. Keeping the bolster or raise for the head. But most importantly, keeping the quietness, the space that you've created within. Savor that as long as you can in the rest of your day. And I'll be back with something else. Another practice before too long. Namaskar, everyone.